through the past the cordite houses.
Yeah.
When the trees bent right over, we wondered what the devil was happening.
How old were you at the time?
I was in press house. I think it was five. I'm not sure, 5 or 10.
Oh,
I was on the main road down from the NG end.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh, you're walking along the path.
No, I was in the building itself.
The building. Oh,
we didn't know which way to go.
Yes.
I mean, the trees weren't all that big, in between, and they just bent over.
Oh yes. Oh, what this? What time was that?
This was, I don't know whether it was, well back, yeah.
It'd be 1940, wouldn't it, Bert?
Must have been. No. 19. I forgot what time, but at the middle of 1940, I went into the forces, didn't I?
Oh,
there was a do-up over that.
Was it? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we got to the station where we had to go to report to, the officer there, he was going silly nearly.
Yes.
Well, he swore, he said, "What the bloody hell," he said, "are you doing here?" He said, "It's stupid."
Yeah.
And there was another chappie with me, I'll always remember that.
Because it was a reserved occupation, wasn't it?
He was at Woolwich, this other chap, and he was standing next to me.
Oh, yeah.
We was on parade.
What, one from Waltham and one from Woolwich on the same day?
On the same day,
yeah.
And we met I forget where it was. We went to go up to now. I know I finished up down Devizes, I know that.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Then went all over England with the old AK-AK guns and Portland Island and whatever.
Portland,
I was at Portland,
Well, I was going to say, when did you come back to RGPF after the...
I came out of the forces and I come straight back into the factory again.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And I finished up with my army time. And with the factory, I done between 42 and 43 years.
Oh, yeah. What, the two added together?
Yes, that was me service. Yeah, I was in the army for about 6 years.
Oh, yes. Oh, you did a good stint then. Well, what year did you start at the
mill? The ERD, I was 18 years old.
Oh,
I am now 83.
Yes.
So I was started there. Oh, I've got to work this out.
Be about... 34, 35, would it? Something?
No,
earlier than that.
I was 18 years old when I started in the factory.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you in a minute. 18 on to 17. 1917 I was born.
Oh, yes. So
and 18, I was 18 when I entered the factory.
27.
Oh, God.
27.
My brain don't work now.
That's about 24, isn't it? 17.
Yes,
34.
1917.
Yes, so it'd be. You were born 17.
I was born 1917. Yeah. I went into the army when I was 23. Into the factory when I was 18.
Oh, so it's 21,
wasn't it?
No.
It'd be
about
33. Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was before. Quite a do before the war started in 1940.
Oh, yes.
Mm. And then, because they didn't let me stay there long, they got me. I finished, it was Devizes, I think, I had to go to down in the south.
What work did you do when you came into the factory, when you first started?
When I first started, I went into the cordite houses.
Oh, yes, on the north side?
In cordite, in the press houses.
Yeah, oh, yes. Mm.
That's where I went.
Yeah, that would be on along the... in the north side?
I was one of the boys.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the family was in there. My uncle, Bill Perry, he was there. He was a safety officer.
Bill Perry. Perry, oh, yes. No relation to the carpenter, Ernie Perry.
I don't know. I don't
know. It doesn't.
Uncle Bill Perry.
Oh, yes.
And what else? Who else did I hear? I had a... Uncle Bill Watson, he worked in there, he was in the fire brigade.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was my mum's brother, that was. The other one was my mum's brother-in-law.
What actual work did you do, you know?
As a boy, we used to be the pullers up.
What's that mean?
On the press houses, the cordite.
Yeah, what's pulling
up? We pulled it along the got hold of it when it came out of the press.
Yeah.
And we just held it up to the end of the table.
Oh.
And it was chopped off.
I see. So it came out
into
soft.
Into length, yes.
Hold it, keep it straight.
That's right.
I see.
And then as soon as we was old enough, we got a pressman's job and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
I finished up over at number 10, actually.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
another press house. And then when I came back into the factory after the war, I went into the labs.
Yes.
With Mr. Zeblund.
Oh, yes.
The German.
Zeblund.
Mr. Zeblund. He had another young German come over with him.
Was
but I don't think they could hit it off very well.
Yes.
And the young one went back again.
Oh, yes. That's what I'm trying to remember the name of the
other one. And I worked with Derek Needham.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Ron Smith, was he there?
Ron Smith, yeah. I haven't heard from him for quite a while.
No,
I wish I could.
I haven't. He moved up to the Lake District, I think.
Has he?
Yes, I think he's gone.
He used to live at Chingford.
That's it, yes. That's where I live.
And I've tried to get in touch, even at the, you know, when we do the annual thing, the meetings.
Oh, yes.
And I can't find him.
Well, I'll have a look through. I've got a few addresses. If I can't find anything, I'll let you know.
All right.
Okay. So you did that. You worked in the press houses
up to the war. And then when I came back, I never went in. That's a lie. I said I went into the labs. I didn't.
Yeah.
I went into the fitter's shop.
Oh, yes.
And then I came out of that and went, as I said, as an assistant in the labs.
Yes.
And I went over number 10 with Zeblund and his boys.
Oh, yeah.
We used to fire the rocket motor.
Yeah. Do you remember Bob Forbes?
Who?
Bob Forbes.
Oh,
was he there? No, he couldn't have been there. Did you, in the fitters, was Norman Elliott, was he there?
He probably was, I don't know.
I think
there's a lot there that, you know, I've
yes,
played.
A change. Mm.
And what was I going to say? One that I very often meet down at the, when we have the, you know, open day, like
At this point, the battery of the tape recorder ran down without me knowing it, and as you can hear, the voice was lost. I propose to ring Stan, get Bert back again shortly, and start him off again on the story.
Yeah, all right. Up to you.
Yep. Well, Bert, let's see. First question is, how were you recruited? Any other family members worked there?
Not at the factory.
Not when you started?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah?
My Uncle Bill Perry.
Oh, yes.
He was a safety officer.
Oh, yes. And
he married my mum's sister.
Uh-huh.
And he lived in Waltham Abbey up at, up at the high walk, where you walk along high up in against the road.
Yes, oh yeah.
You know
yes.
where I mean?
Farm Hill Way, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I can't think of the name.
Oh, not to worry. Is that how you got to know the place, you know, because you were quite young then, weren't you?
I was, I actually got a job. I tell you who got me the job. He asked us all. We used to go to call it the Tin Tabernacle at Waltham Newtown.
I know.
Yeah,
yes.
You know what I mean? Mm. Mr. Astler, he used to work there.
Oh, yes. Mm.
And he said, he wants some young fellas in the factory. How would you like a job there? Because I used to work at Brimsdown, at the Cosmo.
Yes.
And I said, yes, all right. He said, right. He said, next Monday, so-and-so time, you know, and we... And there was about, I think it was about, it was Jack Pontin, he was another one. I think the poor chap's died now, though he has. There was one or two of us that they got. We was all youngsters, well, eight. I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
That was my age.
What year would that be, Bill?
That would be the year, let me think, 38, wouldn't it?
38.
Wouldn't it 38? Because I went into the forces. In 1940.
Yes. Oh, well, anyway, you were interviewed at the factory and taken on in 38 originally.
About 38, yes. Mm-hmm. It was 38.
Oh, yes. And so what sort of job did you do?
Well, I don't know whether I went straight into the coal diet.
I think you said something about a puller, wasn't it? a cordite puller or something.
Well, we used to, what's name, pull the stuff up as it come out of the press. The pressman used to get hold of it, and you used to go along the table with it, mm-hmm. the full length of the table, the cordite, and then it was cut up into lengths and went into wooden crate things that went onto the boat. Well, it was dried first, wasn't it? And then it went onto the boat and went to Woolwich.
Oh, yes. What sort of boat? Like a barge, was it?
Barge. There was the boathouse at Waltham Abbey. That's where they all were. And it used to come down a slope onto the river.
It was a towed barge. It wasn't a sailing
boat. Yes, it wasn't a motorised one.
No, no.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And it was... But first off, I think I went into the fitter's shop as a fitter's mate.
Yes.
But I know
that
I
was on the corner, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. And the boathouse was up the road a bit further.
Oh, yes, yes.
Away from it.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, were you in the latter part of when I was there, when I was working in the labs over at H10 with Mr. Zeebland, the German scientists that they had got over. After the war was over, he came over.
Oh, yes.
And
from Germany.
Well, yeah, I reckon he was like, you know, conscripted over.
Yeah.
As the saying is. He was a bit bumptious.
Yes.
And he used to show off to his subordinates, the other scientists that worked for him, because he had about one, two, three, four, five of them working for him.
Oh, yes.
And we was working over at H10.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we call it? HT, we called it, or
that
something.
Yes.
Or LT.
Because that would be after the war, wouldn't it?
That was after the war.
What happened to you during the war? You started...
Well, I had to go into the forces.
Did you? So during the war...
Yeah, there was a hell of a do there when we went into the war.
Yeah, because that was a reserved occupation, wasn't it?
Pardon?
That was a reserved occupation, they called that, didn't they?
Yeah, captain, or whoever it was, we went to Devizes.
Finished.
And he done his crust. He really went berserk. What the hell, he said, are you doing, coming here to work when you've been working with, explosives, and the war was on and all that? Why did you come?
Yeah.
Why did they send you? They should never have sent you in. I'm going to get you. And next to me, it was rather funny. There was another fella standing as we was on parade, and this other fella said to him, and where did you? He said, I come from Woolwich. He said, what, two of you? Oh, he really went berserk.
That's rather funny, getting a rollicking for being conscripted into the army.
Yes, that's right. And we got a rollicking, but we never did get returned. He said, I'll see you chaps go back.
Yes.
You should never have been called up.
And did you go back?
No.
No, you did your time.
No, I done six. I went into the forces. I got married on June the 11th, 1940.
1940, yeah.
And I went into the forces, and I came out of the forces in, I think it was just at the beginning of 1946.
Oh, yes.
I
so
done
you did
more
6 years.
Less, nearly 6 years.
God, yeah.
But I didn't go out of the country.
No.
I was supposed to have gone.
Yeah.
I should have gone at one time over to, I was up at Devizes, and I should have gone to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Rounding up the loose Japs that was in the jungle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I expect you were glad you got...
Yeah, but I never went. Because
no.
I tell you why I never went. My wife was taken ill.
Oh, yeah.
And my lady MP in... Because I came under Fulham then.
Yeah.
Because the wife was living in Fulham still. That's where she originated from. And this MP... Oh, she went berserk. He's not going to reach there. He's not going over to Japan. Not Japan.
Burma?
The jungle. Burma, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to Burma. She got on to the people up at Catterick.
Oh,
I was due to go. I was all fitted out.
to go to Burma.
Yeah.
And the next morning, well, something was said to me. So they said, you're not going to Burma. You're going down to Clapham Common Gun Site.
Yeah.
And that's the way I came out of it.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Otherwise, I would have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I never went out of the country, but mind you, we had some tight ones with the old ACAC and all that
sort of
thing.
Oh, yes, I see.
Oh,
yes.
Blimey.
Yes. Hmm. Well, anyway, after the war, you'd come back into the...
I came back into the factory.
Yes. Before we leave your early work as a young lad, I suppose, what sort of hours? Can you remember what sort of hours you did? What sort of wages?
Don't talk to me about wages. I think the highest I ever got was £2.10 a week.
Oh, yes. Hmm.
But, you know, like... Yeah. First off.
And they do about what hours then? About 8 till 6 or something, was it?
Something I done, I think it was, 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Till 5 in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it was.
I see, yes.
And,
Of course, there were not much in the way of holidays, were there?
No. You got a fortnight's holiday, I think it was.
Yes.
If you was lucky. Go on.
I was going to say, can you remember the names of any of the foremen? Any of your colleagues at the time, you know, other people, can you remember
their
names?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you where there's one living now. Jim, I don't know what his name is. It's Jim Freer.
Jim Freer, yes.
I think it's not, no, it's not Jim Freer.
No.
He lives round this way. He was one of them that worked in the factory.
He must be getting on a bit now,
isn't he? He's getting on.
Yeah.
I don't know. He lives around this area. I haven't seen him lately. But there was another Jim. He was like in the safety business. He went out of the Cordai into the safety business or out of the labs. And he's going blind, the poor chap. He goes to
them.
Because I've got a friend lives up here, Rose Eden. She worked in the factory in the offices.
Oh, yes.
And her husband's gone blind.
Oh,
and they met one another at the blind club. And I think it's down in this county somewhere, you know, down towards Hartford way they go.
Yes.
Once a week or something like that.
Oh, I see.
And Jim, what's his name? I can't think of his name.
Was he on the safety section, was he, you say?
Hmm?
What section was he on, Jim? Oh, no, he was working with you in the Cordite. This Jim was in the Cordite.
Well, yes, and then he got out of it and got this job as a safety officer.
Oh, yes.
And one or two of them got one. I had a bit of a barney over that because I put in for it and never got it, and I thought I should have got it in preference, but I didn't, and that's all it was about. That was that.
Oh, yes.
One of those things, you know.
Were you in the... There were some explosions there, weren't there, at the... around about 1940. Did you get... Were you...
Well, those... at the end... When the NG went up...
Yes. Were you there... Were you there? You were there then, were you, when it went up?
Well, because I never went into it. It went. That was between, you know, when I went into the factory in 1940, when I went into the forces.
Yes, I know it was early on.
I think there was two lots of explosion up there.
Oh yeah.
Up the NG, and one I'm sure I was in the factory. Well, I was in the press at one of the press houses.
Yeah.
And I think it was called. I don't know what the name. Press House 5, I think, where they turned all the cordite to making places, making the stuff that went in to be put into the press to come out as strips of cordite.
Mm.
I can't think.
That's all right. No, that's okay.
Done all that, and... That's when I think I was in there when one of them went off. And I think I was in the press house. And if I can remember, I think I told you once before, the trees seemed to bend over because they were matchsticks.
Yes.
And then we had another one. I was at home then. I think I was on night work. Because I was turned... I was the age I was over. I wasn't a boy then.
Hmm.
That was when I'd come back out of forces. It must have been.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know I was living with my mum then.
Well, that would be after the war, wouldn't it?
That was
46.
Well, that was, yeah, must have been after.
I don't think there were any explosions after the war, were there?
No, they was during the war.
Yeah, but...
That was before I went into the forces.
Oh, that was in the 40, 41, yes.
Yeah, that's right. I was still... Was I married? I don't know. I must have been. But
yeah.
I was probably living with my mum because I hadn't got a house here, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And the wife was at home still. With her mum, but I know the second one. I'll tell you, it'll make you laugh. I was outside because our house, I lived in Crescent, the Crescent at Waltham Newtown, back of the Moulders Arms, that's where I lived.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting on because we only had an outside toilet, I was sitting on the toilet and I flew indoors. And my mum said, "Dear, did you hear that bang, Bert?" I said, "I heard it, love." I said, "That's the NG gone up again."
Oh, yeah.
She said, "Do you reckon so?" I says, "Yeah, if you look over there, you might see clouds coming up. You know exact spot to look." Because my mum was a Waltham Abbey girl.
Oh, yes. Mm.
I mean, her brother worked in the factory.
Uh-huh. Mm. Oh,
and,
yes.
Actually, I think... Her father worked in the fair. I'm not sure about that.
Well, families did used to work there. You often get a whole run of families in there,
right.
Wasn't it?
Because my granddad, my great-granddad, my mum's granddad, he come from the Midlands.
Yes.
His name was Watson.
Uh-huh.
That's what my mum's maiden name was, Watson.
Uh-huh.
And the history, he came and he worked in the factory, but he went abroad and he married a Spanish girl.
Oh,
so
yes.
I'm half and half.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's all in the family.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And of course, how I come to Perry, Uncle Bill Perry, it was my mum's sister that married him.
Oh, yes. Mm.
That's how it all come about.
I see. Oh, yeah.
But... And my father used to work in Enfield Lock.
Yes.
My brother worked in Enfield Lock.
Yeah, well, there was like an interchange between the two, wasn't there?
Yes, that's right.
Here and there.
But they was both in the engineering game in Enfield Lock, father and my brother.
Mm. Oh, yes. Did you, can you remember any sort of, rather than tragic, humorous episodes, you know, of... singing or any, you know, any skylarking? There wasn't much allowed, was there?
No.
But,
no, it was pretty strict.
Yes. Mm.
And we was glad to get out and get home, you know.
Yeah. You're talking... Yes.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned about sitting on the toilet. Of course, all the toilets there were earth, weren't they?
Yes.
That's a shed, little shed in the middle of the forest.
Yes, in the factory, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
But... Mine, that one I was sitting on, was my toilet at home, where my mum lived, round the Crescent.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, that was a nasty bang." And I said, "Yes, that's the NG gone up again." And I tell you what I did have, but I haven't got it now. It's a shame, really.
Mm.
I had a photo of me standing at the top of... Because straight away, when I said to my mum, I said, "I'm going down to the factory."
Yeah.
And I said, "I don't suppose I'll be able to get in. I'm going down to see what's gone on and, you know, whether I've got to go in and all that." And I stood at the top of Powder Mill Lane and the houses there on the corner, there was a sloping bit of the house built right up to the ceiling, right up to the roof.
Yeah.
And I stood there and a photographer was waiting at the top and he took a picture of me and I had that picture until I got married, but I left it at home. I don't know what happened to it.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's a pity.
It was a pity. I was just standing there, you know, trying to find out what was wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that life there, I always thought was, you know, you say running down to Powder Mill Lane to see what had happened.
Yeah.
Life in Waltham Abbey was very much like a coal mining village, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, all the families there, as soon as there was any trouble, would gather around, run off to the factory to see what the...
Find out what's wrong.
Yes, it's much like the pithead, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Loads of people worked in all around, you know, down from Harold Road, Lee Road, Sydney Road, and all down the Abbey in the Romblin, where was, you know, the cattle place, what they used to sell the cows and sheep every Tuesday.
In the Romland,
In the Romland.
Yes, at the cattle market there.
Cattle market.
Can you remember at the time, in those sort of dark old days, any social life? I mean, we were all young lads then.
Well,
was there any dances and that you used to go to?
Parties? We used to go to, I know Tuesdays I used to go to the Tin Tabernacle, and every month we used to have a bean feast.
Oh, yes. What was that?
Food. I used to we used to have a feed, you know, and every now and then, I don't know how often it was, we used to go with in a coach to the Upshire Copthall. And that used to be an outing.
Yes,
it and would it, be we used to think it was wonderful.
Quite, yes, it was altogether. Did you used to have a bit of a bean feast, a barrel of beer on the back? That used to be the thing, didn't you? Have a barrel of beer on the back of the coach.
But it was quite, you know, that's what our main things. But life was different then to what it is now.
Oh, wasn't it, Jess?
I mean, I just, and the way they go on now, well, I don't know what happened.
Did they used to have any functions in Waltham Abbey? Sometimes they used to have dances in the town hall.
We used to have the carnival.
And do you remember the fair in the market square? Every year they used to have the roundabout, didn't
you? Yes, that's it.
Did you ever go to any of those?
I used to go. You know, it's surprising.
It's a pity
what you've gone to in the past, and it just slips your memory.
Yes. They could, now it's all pedestrianised. They could, if they wanted to, have that fair back again, but I don't suppose it would get the call in. People wouldn't want it like
wouldn't
they
Wouldn't want
to.
It.
No. They say it was a nuisance.
That's right. They wouldn't want it. They don't want that sort of thing now.
No, there's nothing.
They want to go to Russia or somewhere like that.
What sort of canteen facilities did you have? Did you go
The canteen was all right. We had a smashing, because that's where we, if you remember, we used to hold the...
The Christmas parties.
It was a beautiful place, wasn't it?
Yes, in the Hoppet Canteen, wasn't it?
Hoppet Canteen, that's all gone, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, all gone.
It's terrible.
Yes, it's nothing left at all.
No, it's terrible.
I don't know if you've seen the south side lately. But
that's
absolutely
nothing there, is it?
Swept away, not a thing left. It's a housing estate now. It's got hundreds of houses built on it.
Yeah, but I hope to God's sake they've made sure it was really clear.
Yes, you wonder sometimes.
That's what frightens me when I think. I mean, it's the same as the police houses down Powder Mill Lane. They was all built on pylons, wasn't they?
Yes. Because of unsteady ground.
Unsteady and water. The water, the rivers all around.
Oh yes. Yes, they were. Those houses at Powder Mill Lane were rather unique. They had sloping porches above that. Yes.
And it does make you wonder.
Yes. Yes.
Go on.
No, you carry on. No.
But when I was reading it about it in the paper about the houses down over at Quinton. The first thing that went through my mind, by God, I hope they took every bit of earth away.
Yes. You never know what you'd find over there.
Well, I wouldn't like to live there.
No.
I honestly wouldn't. Or down Powder Mill Lane.
No, it's...
It does make you wonder.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's been jolly nice talking to you, Bert. Mm. If you think of any other things, you know, jot it down a bit of paper.
I've had one or two narrow escapes in there.
Let's hear about it.
Oh, we was looking at, because we used to, when I went to in with Zeebland in the lab over at H10, we was doing rocketry work, the small rockets, fixture like, and I had to see to the hydrogen and oxygen and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the hydrogen was in trailers. And we was one day, I was with Jack Patience. He was a young scientist.
Oh, yeah.
He's retired now, and naturally there's nobody there, is there?
No.
But he's completely retired. And we was over testing a trailer. Well, I was sitting up on the platform on the trailer. There's about 30 cylinders. It was a hydrogen trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
And we had to open each cylinder, and I sat up there with my legs on the like a table affair at the back of it where the valves are. And I'm doing them. I got to the middle. I undone one, and it came out, and it was a light.
A light?
It was really a light.
Yeah. What a great flare.
A flare came out of the cylinder.
Oh.
And Jack said, come on, Bert, get down. I said, no, I've got to turn it off. And I got my cylinder key, and I turned it off. But it had burnt. I had the special clothes on, you know, for explosives and that, we used to wear.
Yeah.
And it scorched my legs.
Did it?
Oh, yeah, but I got down, I was all right, and went to the surgery.
You weren't far from the surgery, were you there?
No, they looked after me, and Jack said, by God. And
that was a close one.
And Ron Smith, one of the scientist buds who worked with us over age 10, he was one of the scientists working under Siebeland, with Siebeland.
Oh, yes.
And he kept saying, you should have been recommended for that, he said.
Yes.
That's wrong, he said. They should never have let that gone.
Yeah, oh no.
After all, if you'd have left that, he said, goodness knows what would happen.
Yes, you should have.
And know where it was? It was near the boat place where the boat house was. That's where the trailer was.
Oh, what, round the back of the...
Beyond the fitter's shop.
Yes,
and
oh,
up
yes.
that road there. And that's where we was testing it.
Oh, you were testing it there,
yeah,
I see. Oh,
because I used to... we had a place over there. What was his name? Scientist. He died. I had a letter from him.
Not Charlie Miller?
No, Charlie God.
No.
Ooh, my brain. Charlie... I used to help him and work with him. I was his boy one bit of the time, because he was testing out, you know what he was doing? For rocket rising, for rockets up in the sky, doing work for the Yanks. And I didn't use that. I had a evaporator an all-out place in there, next to where the proof stand was that we used to fire these rockets. I used to get it all prepared, strip it down, get it roll up again, and then it was all ready for Mr. Zeeblin. All valves was turned on. All he'd got to do is press his buttons and do a firing and get a recording.
I see,
That was...
Oh, you did all the preparation and get the supplies laid on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, I can't think of his name, Ron. Oh, God, I will do it.
Yeah.
It'll come to me again sometime. Anyway, he was trying out with this on another affair, as I said, for rocketry up into the sky.
Yes.
In a place just outside. And I used to evaporate the oxygen. I had liquid and I had a evaporator there, you see, and I used to do it. I'll never forget one day. We was testing, and it was a scientist, I don't know who he was now, up from the other labs, up further, you know, where they turn them all the incorporating houses and all that into labs.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And he'd been in the electronics, because they was allowed to smoke in the electronics.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. He come walking in, I don't know whether it was one of the chappies, Arthur Eldridge, and them in their electronics place, they had half of one of the buildings.
Oh, yes.
We had the other half, and we had the full other half. We had one and a half buildings over at age 10.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden, this chap was standing there.
Yeah.
And he got his cigarette on, and he was alive. I wasn't rude, but I just said, oh, for Christ's sake, man, get out of here.
Yeah.
I said, I've just been evaporating oxygen.
Yeah.
I mean, the building could have been full of...
Yes, extra oxygen in the building. Yes, easily.
I said, oh, for Christ's sake, man, get out of here. frightened the life out of me. So I thought, school, blimey, not again.
Yes, when you, sometimes after something like that, when you realise how close you were to something, it gives you a cold feeling.
I've had about two or three things like that happened.
I mean,
I had another fitter come in. He got the measure because I used to evaporate the oxygen into the oxygen, big oxygen cylinder. It was from the floor right to the ceiling, as high as a house. Great big cylinder. I used to fill that up for running on the pool stand.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd empty it out, but he'd got a measure to see what the depth of the thing was. Mm. He came in with a lump of pipe. He was going to take the top off the valve that led into the cylinder.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to measure your cylinder depth and see what the deep is and what size it is.
Mm.
So I said, are you? I said, what are you going to do it with? He said, this. And he got a piece of pipe, which was about an inch in diameter, or was it? No, in. Let me think, which is it, round it or across it? One's circumference and one's diameter on it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Circumference, yeah.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to put this in it and measure it. I looked straight at him, and I mean, he was a fitter, whether he was a fitter or not, or whoever he was. I said, you bloody well not. He said, why not? I said, because it's full of bloody grease. I said, you can't put it in at that cylinder. I said, I evaporate oxygen into there.
Yeah, well, I said, put grease in with oxygen.
I said, the bloody thing will blow up.
Yeah, sure.
That'll be goodbye to H10.
Yeah, that would have been that lot. Well,
of course, he says. Can't I know? I said, get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, well, you've obviously had your bit of excitement. But,
excitement.
Yeah.
Yes, I had some excitement.
Oh, well, anyway, the tape's coming towards its end now, so we'll have to wind it up soon. But that, I mean, I think you recaptured and remembered so much I never imagined, you know, be able to get all that back. You're in good nick, I must say. You know, I can't remember half of what used to go on. It's funny, when you sit down quietly, it all starts to come
coming back to you.
Yes, that's wonderful, yes.
Yeah.
You did ask me, mentioned last time, that you knew Ron Smith.
Yes.
And anyway, if in case you ever want to get in touch with him, have you got a bit of paper and pencil? I found his address.
Have you?
Yeah, you might like to send him a card or something.
Yeah.
You might get them.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oops. Hang on. Yeah, I've got it. Is he still all right?
I don't know. I haven't been in touch for years, so I
don't
know.
No, I haven't. I don't think he came to the last reunion.
No. Oh, well, anyway, Ron Smith.
Yeah.
The address is 8, number 8. 8? 8, Heather Drive. Heather Drive.
What drive?
Heather, as in...
Heather?
More Heather, that's right.
Heather.
H-E-A-T-H-E-R. Heather Drive.
H-E-A-T-H-E-R, yeah.
So, Heather Drive.
Yeah.
Holt, H-O-L-T.
Holt?
Yes.
H-O-L-T, right.
Norfolk.
Oh.
Yes, I thought he was up in the lakes, but he's not. It's Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Hmm. And the postcode...
Yeah.
...is N for Norman, R for Robert.
N for Norman, R for Robert.
25.
25.
6.
5.
25.
6. 6.
A for Apple.
Yeah.
Q for question.
C for question.
No, it's Q. Q for question. Q. Q for quick.
2.
AQ.
AQ.
That's it.
Sorry.
That's it. Mm.
Okay, I've got it.
Well,
yeah. 8.
Heather Drive.
Heather Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Holt.
Yeah.
Not, what did you say? Norwich?
Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Yeah.
Right.
And the postcode?
Postcode is NR256AQ.
That's it? You've got it. Yeah.
I got it. Yeah, he was one of them that worked with us up there.
Oh, well, if you might.
Ron and what was his name? Another one. I've got him in the blooming book. I got his diary up. I got his phone number.
Oh, yeah.
Another chap. I can't think of his damn name now.
Yeah.
He was the one that wrote in the diary once, in his diary, because they all had their diaries.
Oh, yeah.
There was Derek Needham.
Yes.
He was another one that used to be.
He comes along. Yeah. See him occasionally.
Yeah, that's right. And but I remember, this chap, he's a bit of a lad. He wrote in his diary and he put a scaffold. Put a scaffold in his diary and underneath it.
Yeah.
Zeblond.
Zeblond.
Because they used to have bits of ups and the downers between them at different times.
That's right, yeah.
And Mr. Zeblond could be very, very...
Oh, very officious. Yes.
He was over a cup of tea once.
Oh, yes.
And he went into his office and he didn't want to know any of them.
Yeah.
Because they all upstairs on the balcony bit.
Yeah.
They were there where their desks were and offices. And he was in his office downstairs, separate office. He was got nasty. So they said, he's upset again, Bert. I said, is he? I said, well, it's tea time. So they said, don't you go? I said, yes, I will. I knocked on his door. I opened his door. I said, Mr. Zeeman, do you want your cup of tea? It'll be cold in a minute.
that's the best way to go about that, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Just go for it.
Yeah. So he said, he took it. He changed altogether then, you know,
at that moment.
Because I said to him, oh, what, you're not scared of him? It's comical. Anyway, it's nice talking to you, Ron.
And you, Bert, and I'll be in touch and hope, if I don't, not before, I hope to see you at the reunion.
I'll tell you what I have got, I found upstairs.
Yeah.
I found, when I got my long service medal.
Oh, yes.
I found a photo. They sent us a photo. A big, all quite a size.
Oh,
must
yes.
be six inches or more in length, you know, width and
what's this
depth
photo of you
of
getting
me
yes
getting my medal by the, I can't think who the it wasn't the superintendent that I knew. It was one that done it. Whether it was one that took over the superintendent, I don't think he'd left because he was the man that let me retire.
Oh yeah,
our old one. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
And anyway, this one was giving me my medal, and also there was another chap on there and his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And getting his long service medal, he worked on the transport, this chap.
Was it Stan Langley?
Yes.
Oh, was it? Oh, yes.
Yes, that's your thanks for telling me. I couldn't think of his name.
Oh, is he still around?
Well, I don't know.
No.
I've not seen him at the reunion.
No, you don't know where he lives or lived.
No,
or...
I haven't got a clue. Stan Langley and his wife. I knew his wife's surname. I can't think of that now.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Oh, well, I'll...
Christian name, rather.
Yes, Christian name.
You know.
Yes. Oh, well, anyway, perhaps if you think of it, perhaps you could bring the photo along to the reunion. It wouldn't be too much trouble to... bring the photo and let's have a look at it.
No, I'll get it out
when
I come, I'll bring it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's me that's being presented at first. He's pinning it on to me.
Oh, lovely. Oh, we'd like to see that.
Yeah. I think it is, yeah.
Okay then, Bert. Right then, I'll say cheerio.
That's all right.
And
it's nice talking to you.
Thank you, mate. Yes.
I hope I've told you something. Yeah.
Yes, you certainly have.
Okay.
Tell him, mate.
Cheer for now. Bye-bye.